is October 12th, and no more excuses.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. We're going to continue to do that till that absolutely sinks in, that we are gods in the making, that we have God potential within us. I have a little card here, which I'll do before instead of after, and it says, I came from God, and since I must be like what I came from, I am a piece of the divine. You see, you cannot argue with that. Your mind cannot argue with that. Our little card that I have on the back of my calling card is, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. The whole idea of going through this life experience is to realize, to come to a realization, to come to an awareness that you are some part of the universe itself, you are some part of this thing called God, and that you have the exact same qualities as this thing we call God. You have that God potential within you. So we want to look for that, and we want to give up the idea that we're here on this plane of action because we came through our parents. We did come through our parents. We used them as a channel. But this thing called God was the creator of everything. So that's why we call it God the Father. You can call it God the Father, God the Mother, the God of all that is. But the main thing is to realize that you came from that creative source. Until you came from that, since it created you, you have to have its qualities in you. And you have to be able to use those qualities. We have a seed within us, a seed of the divine. Call it the soul. Call it whatever you like. But it's inside. And that is God potential. Tonight we'll talk more about that God potential thing. But this opening thing, calling you gods and goddesses, this is exactly what you are. If you look it up in the Bible, it will say, know that ye are gods. That is printed right in the Bible. Everyone skips over that. Especially brand-named religions love to pass over that, because if you come to the realization, you come to the awareness that you are a god in the making, you wouldn't need that church any longer, you see. So they're not going to tell you that because they want you to keep coming back, which is all well and good. But anyway, we're always trying to elevate our awareness, to elevate our thinking, to elevate our mind. That's what this whole class is about mind. When I say mind, mind is synonymous with God itself, because we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. So everything that's in your life comes into your life because of your mind. There is no action that is initiated on this plane of action before a thought. You must always have a thought first. You may think it's something else causing it. You may think it's a circumstance. You may think it's a tragedy. You may think anything that you want. But it has to always be a thought that initiates all movement on this plane of action. In fact, I will go so far as to tell you that thought motivates and is first cause to everything in the universe itself. It initiates everything. Your thinking. So, we know from our dear friend, Emmett Fox, that we live in a mental world. Then we keep forgetting that. So we're here also to remind ourselves that it's a mental world, that it's our mind that is creating everything. And our mind is creating our reality. What we tell ourselves about ourselves, we start to become. This is the choice that you have. This is the wonderful freedom that you have, that you can choose to think a thought that you wish to think. And I think that is wonderful. Now, before we go any further, I'll tell you about the rubber bands. The rubber band is just came to me, and I know that they use it, and I think I remember they used it for people who wanted to stop smoking. This is to keep you not only in the moment, it'll bring you right to the moment very quickly. It will stop all that negative garbage that's going on inside of your head. it will stop that critical voice that's going on, which tells you, I had a client call me from Connecticut saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot our appointment. I'm such a klutz about such things. Now, you see what she just told herself? She doesn't have the rubber band. You see, if you tell yourself anything bad, anything negative, anything derogatory about yourself, use the rubber band. Use the rubber band. Also, if your mind starts to take you to the past, you know, my mind loves to take me to the past. If I get interested, like in doing dishes around the house, you know, I'm at the sink doing dishes, whew, something from 20 years ago comes up. And it wants to start talking about that. I go, no, that's 20 years old and there's nothing we can do about that. Let's get back to what's going on here. We waste a great deal of time thinking about things in the past. There is nothing you can do about the past, people. Nothing you can do about the past. You cannot change the past. You can change your thoughts about the past. But you can stop thinking about the past. If you are a total God potential, if you wish to succeed, if you have a goal, a vision, that you wish to come onto this plane of action, you cannot be wasting your time thinking about the past. It is an absolute waste of energy. It's an absolute waste of time. And it keeps you from getting where you want to go. Sometimes it can be very entertaining thinking of all that. People love to go down memory lane. You know, when I go home to a small town in Pennsylvania called Duncan in Pennsylvania, which I refer to as the land of Nod, because those people have nodded off years ago. Now, when you go home, they want to talk about our childhood and about all the crazy things we did in school and this. And do you remember when you did this, Dallas, that, this, that? I don't want to remember those things. I am not that person any longer. I did all those crazy things. They did all those crazy things. Why do you want to sit around and talk about them? Why don't you think of something new to talk about? Why don't you stay in the present moment and come up with a wonderful idea that will advance your life, that will bring the money to you that you want, that will bring the success that you want? You will not find that in the past. It will not happen. So use the rubber band to keep yourself focused on what you really want to think about and to bring yourself into this present moment, you see. Works all the time. I had an experience with my brother this week, and I could have gotten very upset, and I could have gone and used an old pattern. He wanted to buy something. I told him where to get it, and he saw it when he got there, but he took his time, and by the time he got to the cashier, there was only one, and somebody else bought it. Now, I could have gone into a whole, well, Jack, why? That's just fine, Jack. He's, you know, why do you want to go there? You see, you do not want to do that to yourself. You want to stay in the present moment. All power is in the present moment. You see, you cannot create anything from the past, and you cannot create anything from the future. You can view the future. You can hold that as a vision that you're moving towards. But it will not create anything for you. The only time that you have any power at all, is in this moment. The only time that you're alive is in this moment, you see. You were alive this morning, but that was in that moment. You're no longer there. That morning is no longer there. That life you lived is gone. The only life you ever have is in this moment. In this moment. So all power is in this moment. Now, why is that so important to know, especially this? Because the name of this series that we're doing this month is called No More Excuses. It's time to give up all these excuses. If you know that all power is in the moment, that means you can change yourself, that the past has nothing to do with you whatsoever. You see, the past has nothing to do with you. Only if you continually think about it, you say, oh, I was poor in the past and I'll always be poor. Now, why would you want a thought like that? You wouldn't want a thought like that. Past has no power. Future has no power. Only present moment has power. But yet we think, oh, well, this happened, this happened. It was Ernest Holmes in Science of Mind who said, place no precedent on principle. You see, God makes all things new. God doesn't say, well, yesterday I did it this way, so today I'm going to do the same thing. But God does not do that. We do that because we fall into habits. Because your mind and my mind and all minds will always take the route of least resistance. And it's always easier to think a thought that you already thought than to think a new thought. It's so much easier to do that because you've already formed a channel in your mind. The synapses are used to that, so they fire that back and forth. They think that's fun. You must learn to fire new synapses off if you want to move on with your life. Now, if you like your life the way it is, please feel free to stay that way, you know. But if you come here and you want to do something with your life, then you have to learn to think differently. That is all life is about, is learning to think differently. When I say it's learning to think differently, I should also add in there, it's learning to forgive yourself. It's learning to forgive yourself. There is not one person in this room, myself included, I don't care how elevated you get, how spiritual you get, how much knowledge you think you have, you hold a little bit of unforgiveness against yourself. We as human beings, for some reason, because I'll call it race mind, we love to punish ourselves. We love to think that we deserve a little bit of punishment. We can't get away scot-free. So we do one little thing and we hold on to that. Give that up. Give that up and just learn to love yourself. Give it up. Okay, now, I have something here. Which I had. Ah, I have it right in front of me. Tom, would you say to Rob, I can accomplish anything I put my mind to in the present moment?
I can accomplish anything I put my mind to in the present moment.
I can accomplish anything I put my mind to in the present moment.
I can accomplish anything I put my mind to.
I can accomplish anything my mind to.
I can accomplish anything my mind to.
I can accomplish anything I want. I can accomplish anything I put my mind to in this moment.
I can accomplish anything I put my mind to in this present moment.
I can accomplish anything I put my mind to in the present moment.
Yes. And I can accomplish anything I put my mind to in the present moment, Rhoda.
And I can accomplish anything I want to in this present moment.
Yes. So it's in the moment. It's in the moment. Now the rest of that, because it's too long and I can see it gets into what we used to play telephone, right? So we won't do that. But the rest of it is, my past has no bearing on what I can and will create. See, your past has nothing to do with you whatsoever. Give that idea up that your past has any hold on you, whatever. It has none. I don't care what you think. It has nothing.
Why do people hang on to it so frantically?
Well, because we're taught that, and it's a habit, and since everyone else is doing it, and since this thing we call race
mind. My family does this. My family always does that.
Yeah. We love to do that to ourselves. It gives us something to be connected to. But give those ideas up. That was your family. I know years ago somebody said to me, oh, you're just like your mother. Oh, my God, I cringed. Not that I didn't like my mother. I did not want to be like my mother. But I had a lot of her habits. My goodness, I lived with her for 18 years, of course. Remember, we mimic people and we imitate people. Until you are aware that you do not have to do that. Nine tenths of what you think you are is learned, is habitual. You've picked it up from somebody else, 9/10. So you say to yourself, this is who I am. That is not who you are. You're imitating somebody else. Now, people think that they always have to be exactly the same thing. Your life will be different. Now, Candace Silvers, who we used to meet with, she used to say to people, well, would your life be different and would you be different if you were raised on the Riviera, by two lesbians? You see, your worldview and who you think you are would be completely different because you would be imitating them. You would be mimicking them. So 9/10 of who you think you are not. It's the 1/10 that we want to talk about, and that's that God potential and so forth, which can get rid of the 9/10 of learned behavior. You see, my contention is, does anyone know what a human being should be? What they are really like? We have no idea because we imitated another human being. Now, what if that human being was wrong? What if that human being was wrong? As children, we looked up to our parents and we said, oh, look what they do. Look what they do. I think I'll do the same thing. And then I'll grow up, you see, and I'll be an adult and all. And it's not imitating and it's not mimicking people. The idea in life is to have a choice. There's a great story about twin boys who grew up. They grew up in an alcoholic family. The father was alcoholic. The one twin became an alcoholic. The other twin did not. They said to the twin who was an alcoholic, they said, why did you become an alcoholic? He said, I watched my father drink all the time and I knew that's what I would do. Choice. They asked the other and he said, I watched my father drink all the time and I knew that is not what I was going to do. It is a choice. You do not have to mimic people. Most addictions run in families. Because you learned it from somebody else. It is not your addiction. You learned it from somebody else. So your past has nothing to do. Now, if it has never happened before, that is no reason for me to make it not happen now. See, just because you've never done something does not mean that you cannot do it. Just because you haven't done it in the past doesn't mean that you can't do it now. God makes all things new. You live in a field of possibilities. Pick a new possibility for your life. What are you doing at the present moment to bring what you want into your life? Now, does anyone remember what it all starts with? It starts with a thought. Anything that you want to do has to be initiated with a thought. You cannot do a thing. I can decide I want to walk across this room, but I have to think first about doing that. I have to initiate it with a thought. My body just does not get up and start to walk. I have to think walk first. So, think of that. It's your mind that's doing it. Once you realize that you're doing it, that you are the cause under your own experience, that you are causing everything that's coming into your life, you find freedom. Because then you can change it. But if you say it's because of my parents, it's because of my background, it's because of my schooling, it's because of my husband, it's because of my children, it's because of my job, it's because of the traffic. The traffic made me do it. You have no control over your life. You have placed that power outside of you somewhere. Don't place that power outside of you. Do not. Keep your own power. Always keep your own power. We love to give our power away to authorities. We love to think that we're weak individuals. We are not weak. We are powerful, powerful, powerful beings. And we must remember that. But if you go to a doctor and the doctor tells you, ha, 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 you have this, this, and this, you immediately accept that. You immediately accept that. Instead of asking your mind, what's going on here? How can I take charge of this? How can I heal myself of this? It's the inner doctor. Your mind is doing it. But we take on that authority. We say, well, the doctor said, you know, it's going to take 3 years or it's going to do this, that, the other thing. We stop thinking for ourselves and we give him the power. Because why? He spent millions getting his education. Spent millions getting an education. So, I'll tell you a cute story about medical schools. They have no recent books, by the way. It's too expensive to print new medical books. So they keep teaching from the old books. Things have changed. Think of that. And you immediately think, oh, they know what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing. Have no idea what they're doing. You know, it's all guesswork. That's why it's called practicing medicine. They're practicing on you. But use your own mind. Use your own thinking with these things, okay? Now, before I go any further, affirmations, because it is a prosperity class. And if you'll turn that over, there's a wonderful thing we're not going to go over, but I just want you to notice that Carrie Cole Whittaker, does anyone remember her? She did a book years ago called How to Have More in a Have-Not World. Wonderful. She was here in California. She made a great deal of money, so she knows what she's talking about. So do that. The other little paper that is here, the only thing I want you to know about this, we're always talking about the imagination. You see, you cannot get anywhere in this life without an imagination. And that's the first thing that the world takes from you. And also, your family takes that from you. They will let you have an imagination to about 6 or 7 years old. You can say, oh, a big frog. I just found a big frog in the yard and it kissed me. And they'll say, oh, isn't that cute? Now, if you're 8 years old and you say, I just found a frog and it kissed me, your mother says, now, let's not go there. Let's not have this fantasy. You must control that imagination of yours. Your imagination is running wild. I would suggest that you allow your imagination to run wild. You cannot do anything in this world without an imagination. So I always say it's the greatest tool you have in your toolbox. Get that imagination out and use it. Albert Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. It's more important than knowledge because knowledge is just passed on. If you don't have an imagination, you're going to hear the same thing. Nothing is going to advance without your imagination. So use your imagination and learn to use it. It's a muscle, people, and it atrophies because you do not use it. You have to learn to use your imagination. Play little games, see things, do things. And get your imagination working for you. Here's what Ernest Holmes, and I'll read this to you, this is the most important thing, said about imagination. Never limit the view of your life by any past experience. Well, we know that, see. If you are doing that, you're limiting yourself. The possibilities of life is inherent within the capacity to imagine what life is, backed by the power to produce this imagery. Or divine imagination. Remember, there's not your mind and my mind. There's only one mind, the mind of God. So the imagination has to be a divine imagination. So right there, that should tell you something. It is not a question of failing or succeeding. It is simply a question of sticking to an idea until it becomes a tangible reality. Sticking with an idea until it becomes a tangible reality. You have to stick. Years ago, when I was 18 years old, I took a job with my uncle. And he said to me, Dallas, you must have stick-to-itness. And that's a word you don't hear so often. But you must have stick-to-itness. You get ideas and so forth. You use this imagination. You say, I want this in my life. I want a fabulous home in my life. Grand. Do you ever go to look at them? Do you look at magazines? Do you ever do anything to foster that, to keep that going? Or the next day, do you forget that you even had that thought? You see, thoughts are things. They go someplace and they do something, but they don't do it instantly. You must hold on to that thought till it takes clothes and dwells among you. And you don't do that. Because it would be very frightening that every thought you had, every imagination, every vision you had would plunk into this room all at once. My God, you'd go out of your mind. So you have to be exact in what you want. And you have to have the stick-to-itness to know that it is coming to you. To know that it is coming to you. And if you're not getting what you want, you don't sit down and bemoan the fact and lament, oh, I'm not getting it, I'm not getting it, God hates me, the world hates me. Please, don't do that to yourself. You sit down and you say to yourself, I'm thinking the wrong thought. I am thinking the wrong thought. What thought should I be thinking? And then ask this thing called God, what thought should I be thinking? Have I completely forgiven myself? Have I completely forgiven everybody else? Do I love life? Do I love myself? Have I opened myself to receive? Have I opened myself to receive? And then let it come to you. I think it's Terry Cole Whitaker's On the Other Side. Doesn't she say relax into it? There's a whole book out by Cohen, I believe his name is, and it's Relax into Wealth. You see, we get so tense with our praying, with our treatment work, with our affirmations, and we become so anxious about these things that we push the very thing that we want away from us. We push it away because we get too tense. Instead of knowing and believing, if you ask, ask, and it will be given on to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. These are the things that you have to remember. You see? This is a complete God-oriented teaching, as I tell everybody. But it's dealing with the mind. And it's making your mind what you want it to do. You have to tell your mind what to think. You have to be able to do that for yourself. Your mind will not do it for you. All those thoughts that you think are coming and going in your mind are called chatter, or it's called the monkey mind. They mean nothing, and it's always going to go on because of the static that's in here. You know, a radio that's not tuned to the right station, all you get is static. All you get is static. Learn to tune your mind so that it becomes clear. Know exactly what you want and know that you can have it. You see. And as soon as your mind puts in a negation, pull your little thing and tell it to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. You see? You have to do that. You have to train your mind. That's all science of mind is about. Yes, there is tons of stuff in there. Tons of stuff in there. That's very religious. But it's not going to get you anywhere, you say. If you don't change your thinking, if you don't start to see yourself differently. So, you have to do that. Do that with your imagination. So, let's close our eyes a moment. And let's go within. And somewhere in the middle of your chest, the solar plexus area, start to see, start to feel something there. A tiny little seed. See that seed. It can be any shape, any color you want. But know that that seed is your God potential. Inside of that seed is everything that you are looking for is everything that you want to become, is everything that you can imagine. And it's all squashed down into that tiny seed. Minute compared to your body. Now start to see that seed opening, growing, pushing down roots, shooting up stems. I know that that is that potential, that God potential, taking over your body. Call it the body snatcher if you want. But know that it is there and that it is always growing inside of you. But it does not grow if you do not become aware of it. And it stops growing if you do not nurture it. So see it, feel it, nurture it. And know that it is not only growing throughout your entire body, it is growing in your mind so that you are elevating your thoughts to be able to think God thoughts after it. So that you're thinking thoughts that heal you and bless you and prosper you. So that you are thinking thoughts of beauty, thoughts of love, thoughts of forgiveness. So that you come to the realization that you truly are a spiritual being having a human experience. That you are completely spiritual. And give up that nonsense that you are human having a spiritual experience. Let that grow within inside of you. You can come back when you're ready. The whole idea here, with this thing of no more excuses, the whole idea of growing spiritually is the idea that you have to start considering yourself spiritual. You have to start to do that. Not waiting till you make your transition. And then start imagining, what does that mean to be spiritual? What powers would I have if I were spiritual? You see? What powers would you have if you pretended, if you imagined that you were God? Hard one to do, because the world doesn't want you to do that. The world doesn't want you to do that. The world never wants you to find out who you are. Never wants you to find out who you are. You have to know that you're a spiritual being. You have to know that this thing called God is always for you, that this universe is a friendly universe, that everyone can succeed, everyone can have all the money, all the abundance and all the prosperity that they want. We're not having that and experiencing that because of our thinking. Because we have allowed the world to convince us otherwise. Or we have allowed our own mind to convince us that we're not good enough. You see, don't do that to yourself. Know that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay. So with this idea of no more excuses, giving yourself all these little excuses, and you know them. When you hear an excuse come up, use your rubber band. Get rid of that excuse. It is time now to do this for yourselves. You see, as they say, we're not getting any younger. You see, if we were getting younger, we would have a few days maybe to get. But now, I don't think that we have any time to waste. The world is speeding up. Knowledge is speeding up. Everything is speeding up. We must speed up also. And we must realize how wonderful we are, how special we are, and what powers we do have. We have phenomenal, phenomenal powers. And we ignore them. We discount them. Or we pretend that it was a fluke. Stop pretending it's a fluke. Start seeing it every day. This is what I do. My thoughts do something. My thoughts go someplace. And they do not return to me void. You have to realize how powerful you are. There's no such thing as an idle thought. It's always going to do something. Always going to do something. With most people, it turns inward and causes disease. Didn't know that, did you? It's your thinking that's doing it. It's your thinking that's doing it. So think differently about yourselves. Give up the excuses that you have used all these years. The mind loves to give you those excuses. Remember, we had a talk on faith and hope and all this stuff. The word hope has no power. The word trying has no power. But we use all these little loopholes, and we use excuses as a loophole. Because if you don't have a job, you can easily say to somebody, I'm too old and they won't hire me. And everyone will believe that. Everyone will believe that. But I know people who've worked into their 90s and beyond. They were not too old. Only the body grows old, people. The spirit never grows old. Who you really are never grows old. You have the exact same enthusiasm and the exact same energy that you had when you were 18. You just don't know that because you keep saying, I'm getting old. And you think age and getting old depletes your energy. It does not deplete your energy. Only your thinking depletes your energy. Only your thinking depletes your energy. Don't buy into what the world wants you to do. Why does the world want everyone to get old? Because they get decrepit and they can sell them all kinds of drugs. You know, it's an economic world that we live in. Always out there looking, how can we make more money? And do you think the pharmaceutical companies are one bit interested in health? No, they're interested in profit. Now, they may help people, but that's not their main goal. And they may say that, but it's not their main goal. Their main goal is to make money. You see? So, changing your mind, thinking differently about these things. You see? The universe is benevolent. The universe wants you to succeed. The world you live in is not benevolent, and it does not want you to succeed. It never teaches you success. The world tells you you can't do it. The world will always tell you you can't do something. The universe will always say, yes, you can. Get your thinking straight, and you can do this. And that's what it's about. That's what it's all about. But it's learning that you have power. So start with the idea that you're a spiritual being. And then start to imagine what that would that mean to you. What does that mean when you say you're spiritual? Can you fly? Can you do this? Can you do that? If you're a spiritual being, you must be able to see through walls. I don't know what it means. For me, I know what it means. I don't know what it's going to mean for you people. But it must mean that you can get a job. It must mean you can make money. It must mean you'll be able to do all these things. And if you want to call it mystical and magical, go ahead. That's your imagination. Make it mystical and magical. But make it, just don't sit there saying, oh, I'm a poor human being and human beings are always this way and this is the human nature. Oh, I hate that thing, human nature. What do you know about human nature? We love to blame everything. Oh, that's just the way people are. Why? Because they're imitating somebody else all the time. We don't know, we do not know what human beings are like. If the first human never stood up, do you think we would be standing? Well, we'd be on all fours. Don't children all start on all fours? Why do you think they stand up? Because they imitate their parents. They imitate their parents. Parents were on their hands and knees, we'd be on our hands and knees. So somebody used their imagination and said, you know, I think I could stand up. I think I could do this. 9/10 of who you think you are is learned behavior. 9/10 of who you think you are imitating. You are mimicking. So, don't have an imitation of life. Learn to live life. Learn to live your life the way you want to live it. Give yourself permission to be able to do that and not put yourself in a prison that somebody else built for you and now you maintain with your thinking. It's done that way. I have some cards. Our most important problems cannot be solved. They must be outgrown. They must be outgrown. What does that mean? I had a cousin, Dennis. Took him 12 years to stop sucking his thumb. But he grew out of it. Children suck their thumbs, but they grow out of it, don't they? They grow out of it. It was a habit. That's a habit. You grow out of habits. That's what you want to know about any habit, any addiction that you have. You can grow out of it. You can coax it down the steps, one step at a time. But you are not an addiction. The world would like to tell you once you have an addiction, you're always addicted. I do not buy into that. That is not my belief. If it's your belief, please, I'm not going into your beliefs. I often offend people when I say that because so many people are in 12-step programs. You know, years ago, 12-step programs was only for alcoholics. I went to 3 of those meetings. I hated those people and the philosophy. And I thought, I'll give up drinking because these people don't drink because they don't have a third hand. You know, if they had a third hand, they'd be drinking. They have a cigarette in one hand and a cup of coffee in the other. There's no way they can force a drink on themselves. But if they had a third hand, a drink would come up. Anyway, that's their business. You can outgrow these things. Because why? You have the power. You're a spiritual being. And the 12-step programs help a great deal of people. I'm not putting that down, people. I'm not putting that down. It wasn't for me. If it's for you and it's working, please do it. But there are other ways out there to do things. So if you have something that's bothering you, an addiction of any type that you think is getting in your way, use this idea that you are a spiritual being. Ask this thing that we call God to help you with that and snap this rubber band and say, ha, 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 bring your mind back. I'm not going there. I'm not going to that addiction. I'm not going to that addiction. You can do this, but be kind and be gentle and be loving with yourself. Never beat yourself up. Beating yourself up, you'll just drink more, please, or whatever else you're doing. Be not a slave of your own past. This is what we do. We become slaves to the past. Something happened to us a way back when. I don't know how many people are familiar with Carolyn Mace. Carolyn Mace calls it woundology. And the whole idea about woundology, especially, I'll use the example that she uses, an alcoholic. So somebody says, introduces at a meeting, the person said, well, you know, I'm an alcoholic. Did we ask that question? You see, they always have to go through the past to get to the future. You know, I was abused as a child. The past to the future. How many people do that? Use their past they taught to bring. We do not need to know any of that stuff. You do not need to know any of that stuff. You're saying that's called woundology. It's always going to the past to remember something bad that happened to you to bring it into the future or into the present. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do it. Trust your elevated thoughts, especially those that stir up passion, and then act on them as if they were unquestionable. An elevated thought. And then with passion. Remember, all demonstrations are done with warmth of feeling. Warmth of feeling. Passion is a warm feeling. You must have the thought and the feeling combined with each other. Combined. So get a wonderful feeling. Months ago, I said, always have that feeling that you're successful. Always have the feeling that you're successful. Wake up in the morning with the feeling you're successful. Tell yourself that you're successful. Now the mind will say, yeah, I'm successful. Well, you don't have a job and you don't do this and you don't do that. That's your mind. That's your mind. You have to be able to stop that thinking. You have to be able, you have to know that you're successful. You will not become successful if you do not feel successful when? In the present moment. In the present moment. You must do that. And that's a very tricky little thing for people to understand because the mind says, but that's not true. We're not talking about that. I don't care if it's true or not true. You'll make it true. You'll make it true. That's your business. Why is that your business? Because you're a creator. You're a spiritual being and you're creating something. And you're creating your own life. You're creating your own experience. Doesn't matter if it's true. It matters what you're thinking. And it always matters what you're thinking about yourself. Everything is going to start with you. So know that you're successful right here and right now. You see, the reason why you don't think you're successful because you listen to the world out there, which is very convincing, and the world tells you you're not successful unless you have a terrific job, unless you drive the right car, unless you wear the right clothes, unless you do this, 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 and this. You use their criteria. It's the wrong criteria. You have to be a spiritual being. You have to say, I'm a spiritual being. What would be one of the wonderful things that you could learn on this plane of action, knowing that you're a spiritual being? Huh. I can forgive people instantly. That's a big one, isn't it? I can forgive myself instantly. Now, that's success. That's success. You see. Shifting your focus from what the world. Remember, be in this world, but not of this world. If you want to be of this world, then you're going to buy in to keeping up with the Joneses. You're going to think that it requires all this money to find the peace of mind that you're after. And it doesn't. You see? You all remember this one. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all else will be added unto you. How many people get up every morning and say to themselves, I'm going to seek the kingdom of heaven today and let things come to me? No, you're going to get up and say, I better look at the stock market. I better find out if I have any money. I better think if I could do this. I better, all that other stuff that the world tells you. You turn on your television, it tells you all this stuff that's going on wrong. And you say, oh, well, I guess it's not a good day to be spiritual today. You know, I'll wait till tomorrow. It may look better out there. It's not ever going to look any better. But once you seek heaven, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, which means peace of mind, people. Once you have peace of mind, things come to you. You don't have to go to them. You don't have to go to them. So try that. In the day, in the morning, whenever. Say, I'm going to seek the kingdom of heaven, which is peace of mind, and see what happens. Then your mind will clear, and things will come to you, instead of you always trying to force something to happen. It is not going to do that. Not going to do that. I did my little band. Because a tune came in. How many people believe this one? I won't be happy till I can make you happy too. We take that as a little thing, you say. It's an out and out lie, you know. I won't be happy. So I'm not going to be happy till all you people are happy. Well, no, isn't that ridiculous? Isn't that ridiculous? See, these are the little things I want you to hear going on. This is becoming aware. This is the idea of becoming a witness to your own thinking. What am I thinking? What little things are screwing in there that I've played in my mind that we think are just little things that don't mean anything? That means a great deal. You know, I won't be happy. A lot of people live under that illusion. I won't be happy till I can make you happy too. How many people are in a relationship and they think, I'll make the other person happy? You can't make the other person happy. You can only make yourself happy. And if that other person doesn't get happy, get rid of them. Absolutely. Throw them out. You know? When I was a minister, I used to counsel women that come to me with these horrible, horrible things about what their men were doing to them and their boyfriends and everything. I say, chuck them. What? What? I said, chuck them. They would go out. I'd never see those people again. They don't want to chuck somebody. They want to keep that person around. That person's making you miserable. That person is mean, hateful. It's going to stay that way. You cannot fix that. Chuck them. Chuck them. Something to remember. There are many, 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 many people out there that absolutely want to love you. Why do you want to be around somebody who doesn't? Why do you want to spend your time with somebody who doesn't want to love you? Nah, don't do it. Chuck them. Okay. The initial movement is completely in your thoughts. All everything has to start with a thought. Mental world. Mental world. Your thought initiates everything. Just because you have no recollection of ever having been other than you are today, this isn't proof that your nature is unchangeable. Isn't that a good one? I love that one. I'll read it again. Just because you have no recollection of ever having been other than you are today, this isn't proof that your nature is unchangeable. Your nature. You can change yourself. You can change into anything that you want to be. It's done with your thinking. It's done with your mind. It's done with the idea that you are a spiritual being, that you're living in a complete field of possibilities, and that you can pick any possibility that you wish. That with God, all things are possible. So don't give up on yourself. Never give up on yourself. Keep loving yourself. Keep that vision that you want and work on it daily. Work on it daily, but not with all this grunting and effort and all this kind of stuff, you know. The Bible, it says, with the sweat of your brow, For years, people thought that meant get out with a shovel and a pick and I'll dig a ditch and do all this because, oh, I've got to get all sweaty and this brow has to just be pouring down sweat and so forth. Well, the only thing that that does, you know, is makes you stinky. It doesn't help you in the least. Metaphysically, when it says, by the sweat of your brow, it means to think. Your brow, this is where your brain is located. This is where your mind is. Use the sweat of your brow. Use your thinking. It doesn't mean to pick up a shovel and start going crazy. But people think, oh, I have to do it. No. All things start in thought. Thought initiates everything. Yes. Yes. Hard work is wonderful. But it's not what it doesn't do it. When you trust in yourself, oh, this one, now listen to this. When you trust in yourself, you trust in the very wisdom that created you. How could you not trust in yourself? How can you say that I'm a spiritual being, that I came from this thing that we call God, that I am a child of God, but I don't trust a thing my thoughts are doing. I don't trust this, that, and the other thing. You see? Remember, the highest form of worship you can give God is to love yourself. Is to love yourself because you're loving God. There's only God, only God, only God, only one, 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 one. That's all there is out there. It's always God talking to God. It's always God looking to God. When I'm giving this talk, do you think I think I'm talking to people? No, I know I'm talking to God. How do I give these talks and so forth? Yes, I do all this little preparation work and so forth. But when I come through this door and I sit down on this chair, I know that I have a companion with me. And that companion is God. And I know that that mind of God is working through my mind and is giving me the ideas to be able to tell you people. I do not say I do this myself. It's always the Father within that doeth the work. You have to remember that. You do not have to do this stuff yourself. How many times do I have to tell you that? When people come to me and they say, give me all these clothes, I have no idea sometimes what to do. But I know that God does. But I know that God does. So I just say, I have no idea how to do this, God, but I know that you do, so you take care of it. Remember, fun and entertainment, ways and means. That's the way it's done. Here's excuses. You're too old. At your age. It's too late. Somewhere between the two, your private destiny wasn't elevated to a primary position in your life. You did not elevate because when you were small, your parents told you, you're too small to do that. You're not big enough to do that. You're this, that, and then you go, you're too old to do that. At your age, do this, that, and that. You missed the whole thing in between. What was your destiny? What did you really want to do? Because you heard, you're too young, you're too old, you're too this, you're too that, da 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 da. You never found out who you were. You never found out who you were. So now find out who you were. Take this challenge, this rubber band challenge. Listen to your mind, what it is telling you. But start with the premise that you are one with God, that you are a spiritual being, and that you have the potential in you to create anything you want because this thing, call it your Heavenly Father if you wish, gave you those qualities. You inherited them. They're intrinsic within you. And you can use them and you can change your life. And you can no longer have all the excuses that you allow your mind to give you. Just from now on, say I'm a spiritual being and I live in a spiritual world, and in my world that I'm living in, there's no such thing as excuses. If I want to lower myself, if I want to come down and sort of elevate myself, if I want to come down onto this world and I want to be convinced by the world, then I can use excuses. But if I'm using excuses, anytime you hear an excuse, you have to know that it's not an elevated thought. That you have just plunked yourself right down here on this plane of action. When you elevate yourself and realize, aha, I'm aware that that's an excuse, and that excuse has no power over me whatsoever. The only power is in the present moment, and in the present moment I know I'm whole, complete, and perfect. I know that I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.